It All Started in Eden offers a narrated collage of five tightly scripted drama sketches that portray the intended intimacy for which we were created, as well as heartrending reminders of why we struggle with relationships. It features five two-voice drama sketches, including Designed for One Another, which invites us to share the wonder Adam and Eve enjoyed when first created, Just One Bite, which reveals the alluring appeal of temptation, Not Me, Lord, and I Don't Have Anything to Wear, which use humor to underscore our human tendency to engage in the blame game and instant cover-ups, and Bring Back the Music, which captures our deep longing for what could have been, even as it points to our ultimate redemption.
In the beginning, God,
the infinite, eternal, perfect, triune God who created the heavens and the earth and everything within them,
chose to complete his magnificent work by creating a man made in God's own likeness and brought to life with God's own breath.
God graciously placed that man, Adam, in a luxurious paradise. Then God summoned all the livestock, birds, and jungle animals who romped and snorted and played together in joyous harmony to Adam to see what he would call them.
As Adam chose names for the sheep and goats, eagles and egrets, tigers and giraffes, he noticed that they all had mates. So Adam began to look for a suitable companion to share his life.
The Creator smiled, administered a divine sedative, extracted one of Adam's ribs, and fashioned a perfect partner for him.
I feel like someone's looking at me, watching me, almost staring at me. Wow, someone is staring at me, but now that I see who it is, I don't really mind. In fact, I like it. I like you. You're gorgeous. You're elegant, exquisite, enchanting, breathtaking, mind-bogglingly beautiful. Why, I can't take my eyes off you. Who are you, anyway? You weren't here yesterday when I was naming the animals.
No, I wasn't.
You talk.
Yes, I do.
You have arms and legs, fingers and toes like I do. You stand tall and look right into my eyes. And you speak.
Yes, I do.
Oh, how wonderful. You're so much like me, only better.
Not necessarily better, just different, distinctive, unique.
But where do you come from?
From you.
From me? Impossible. I don't even know who you are. How could you come from me?
God made me from one of your ribs.
From one of my ribs? You've got to be kidding. How could God make you from one of my ribs?
How could God make you from the dirt we walk on?
But I didn't feel a thing.
Of course not. You were sound asleep.
But I'm wide awake now and eager to get acquainted. After all, if this is true, you are bone of my bones.
Bone of your bones.
Flesh of my flesh.
Flesh of your flesh.
Like me, but different.
Like you, but different. Created in God's image. To care for God's creation.
Partners.
Sweethearts. Soulmates. Because you are Adam.
You are Eve. You are woman.
You are man.
We're designed for one another.
Complete when we're together. Made to love each other. We are one.
So that's how it was meant to be. We were designed to be partners.
Sweethearts.
And soulmates. Who delight in sharing our lives in devoted intimacy.
And loving unity.
What a wonderful, happily ever after life.
It was, and should have been.
Just one bite. One sensuously scintillating, enticingly exhilarating, marvelously liberating bite.
just one bite?
Just one bite.
But God said...
God? The God who crafted creativity and delights in grand diversity would discourage curiosity?
We may eat of every other fruit.
An arbitrary absolute. Grow up. Eat from all the trees in Eden. No good God would give you paradise and then restrict your freedom.
But God said that we would die.
Die? You won't die. That's an authoritative, calculated lie. God knows this fruit will open childish eyes to give you adult pleasures and make you like God, wise.
That's why? I always thought God cared about us and wanted only the very best for us. But if what you say is true, this prohibition inhibits our volition and forces our submission, and that's totally unfair.
Just one bite.
Just one bite.
One deliberately God-defying, dangerously death-denying, disobediently damnifying bite. Just one bite.
One tasty, tantalizing, tiny little bite. It was such a small thing.
Except that it defied the God who created them.
And disrupted the harmony, companionship, and joy of Eden.
For them.
For us.
Forever.
It wasn't me, Lord. It was Eve. You know, the intriguing, irresistible woman you made from my rib, Lord. That's who gave me the fruit.
It wasn't me, Lord. It was Lucifer. You know, the intriguing, irresistible angel of light you made to show your beauty. That's who gave me the fruit.
You can't blame me, Lord. You say you told us not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
But that's just the point. Without the knowledge of good and evil, how were we to know?
You can't blame us, Lord. You say you wanted us to trust you, to show that we loved you by obeying you.
That's asking an awful lot. We are still youngsters in the game of life. Remember, you just made us. You don't really expect us to get it right the first time, do you?
Maybe you're to blame, Lord.
You don't think so?
You think you made it very clear?
You think we understood your warning?
You mean you think we're responsible?
Oh, Lord, don't blame me. Maybe him, but certainly not me, Lord.
Ah, the blame game.
We've all played it.
And we've all lost. Guilt so squeezes our reasoning and freezes our hearts that we rush to bend the truth to defend ourselves.
In the process, we blame circumstances.
We blame each other.
And sometimes we blame God. Blaming never solves the problem.
But it makes us crazy enough to plan a cover-up or withdraw from life.
Now, wasn't that fruit delicious? All right, don't answer. Adam, I hate to say this, but you look different somehow. I mean, you look older and sort of sad and kind of empty. In fact, I never noticed it before, but you look downright naked. Don't you think you should put something on? And me. Look at me. No, actually, don't look at me. Why, Adam, I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, but I don't have a thing to wear. What am I going to do? Why, I'm stark naked. Oh, how utterly embarrassing. Adam, quick. We've got to do something. Why, the least we can do is go shopping.
We can't go shopping.
Oh, you're right. We can't go shopping. I don't have anything to wear, and someone might see us.
There's no one around to see us, Eve.
Maybe I could order from Sears.
Sears? Sears won't even be shipping for thousands of years.
Well, then, we'll just have to make something.
Make something? How are we going to make something?
With a needle and thread, of course. Now, Adam, don't just stand there. Go get me a needle.
A needle?
Yes, a needle. You know, something sharp to sew things together.
Sew things together.
Men, they don't ever know what to do. Look, over there's a tree. Go break off a little branch and shave its end to a sharp point with a couple of stones.
Yes, dear.
Meanwhile, I'll gather some fig leaves and look for a vine or cord of some kind to hold them together. Then I'll sew them together so we have something to wear. That should fix everything. Adam, why don't you ever talk to me anymore? Why do I have to think of everything and explain everything and do everything? Adam, it wasn't like this before. Just this morning, we did everything together. You and me.
And God.
It was such fun.
I remember.
Everything's so different now. You're so distant. So disinterested. So dead. Adam, I'm so lonely. It's like you're hiding. And like I'm so exposed.
I think I hear someone calling my name.
Someone calling your name? But Adam, you said no one was here.
No one but God.
God? Like I said, I really don't have anything to wear.
Go shopping? Find a needle? What was Eve thinking?
At least she was thinking and trying to find a solution. Adam just sat there glumming over the situation. What good did that do?
Adam knew that God was holy and that sin ruined their relationship.
So did Eve. That's why she tried to fix the problem.
That sounds noble, but more than one relationship was broken, and nothing Adam or Eve could do would make them righteous before God again.
So the fig leaves didn't really solve the problem.
No. Adam and Eve really didn't have anything to wear, physically or spiritually.
And neither do we.
All of us have done what we know is wrong.
All of us have tried to blame someone else and cover up our sins.
Or to ignore the situation and hope it goes away.
When it doesn't, we arch our backs and insist we're right.
We shout and snarl and stomp to make the other person hurt just as much as we do.
Even though the rift in the relationship is making us miserable.
And our stubbornness threatens to snuff out the most intimate, fulfilling human relationship we've ever known.
And worse than that, to separate us from the magnificent, loving, holy God who made us and the marvelous universe he gave us.
It's the silence, Lord, where there used to be music.
And rhythm.
And song.
Silence.
Where we used to hear angels
and planets
and stars sing a symphony of joy.
Silence. Where lions
and llamas,
camels
and cockatoos
used to talk with us,
laugh with us, celebrate with us.
Silence.
Where roses
and rye grass,
waterfalls
and fir trees
used to play with us,
clap for us,
dance with us.
Silence.
Where we used to talk to one another, openly,
freely,
tenderly,
without the cadence,
the harmony,
the music.
How can we go on? Dear Lord,
in a voiceless vacuum,
please bring back the music.
It all started in Eden.
Beauty, wonder, romance, harmony, love.
Disobedience, guilt, regret, the blame game, cover-ups, despair.
And longing, endless longing, for what could have been a perfect paradise where we're loved and understood.
And life runs smoothly.
I often wish Eve had never eaten the forbidden fruit.
Or that Adam had refused to eat the fruit Eve offered him.
What would have happened then?
No one knows. But I suspect Adam feared he would lose Eve.
So he chose Eve over God.
Perhaps.
Because he feared loneliness?
Perhaps.
And then discovered there's a loneliness that transcends human relationships and leaves a gaping hole that only God can fill.
Precisely.
Worse yet, we repeat the same cycle, even though we know the dreadful consequences.
Dear Lord, in a voiceless vacuum, please bring back the music.